Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I trust that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. I trust that you are enjoying the goodness, the faithfulness, the mercy of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is such a special season, and we're truly thankful. Life is a precious gift from the Lord. It's a privilege to have this gift. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has made it possible for you and for me to be able to come together again tonight for another time of digging into the Word of God and just growing in the knowledge of His truth. For several weeks now, more than 3 months, we have been studying together the theme, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. When you renovate your mind by the Word of God and you begin to think like God, your life will be lifted. Your life will be elevated. There's so many foundational nuggets and principles that we have already studied together over these last 12 weeks. And we are continuing to press on. I know that the Lord is helping us. All of us are on a journey. It's an exciting journey. Glory to God. It's a wonderful journey. It's an amazing journey. And I'm really thankful and excited to be able to get together with you again tonight. So wherever you are joining us from around the world and on whatever platform, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. And I hope that you have your study, your Bibles, your notes. You're ready to dig into the Word of God with us. Hallelujah. Let's share the Word of God with, share a word of prayer tonight as we get started. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. What a glorious opportunity. What a blessing that we have this opportunity to come together tonight again to study your word. I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone, them and their loved ones, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Thank you, Father, for giving us understanding in your word, illumination, clarity. Thank you for making great grace available. Lord, I ask that you think through my mind, that you speak through my vocal cords. Lord, grant us great grace. Elevate us, Lord, like only you can. We thank you for it. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We yield to you. We acknowledge you. We give you front and center all of the preeminence that you have your way amongst us tonight. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us. Let's dive right into the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 55. And from verse 8, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Glory to God. When our thoughts become aligned with the thoughts of God, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, some truly amazing things can happen in our lives. When we begin to think like God, when we begin to align our thinking to be in accordance with the thoughts of our Father, glorious things can truly happen in our lives. Well, in order to get there, our minds must be renovated. Because when we gave our life to Christ, Our spirits were renewed, but nothing happened to our minds, our souls, nothing happened to our physical bodies. And it's over a period of time and spiritual exercises that we make our minds and our physical bodies conform to the deposits that God has put inside of our spirit man. Amen. So we have studied extensively and all of the foundational thoughts. And so if you are just joining us or if you are new to this, please get a hold of our podcasts, our YouTube channel. Just refresh. Just go back there and get all of that knowledge and all of that revelation that we have all received together already, so that you can have a foundation to build on. As we go forward tonight and for the next several weeks, we're going to be building on foundation that we have already laid. We have the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ that we have been given is not automatic. We have a responsibility to take that mind. And the way in which we take that mind is by through the spirit and the attitude of humility, by embracing that mind of Christ and by embracing everything that his word seeks to do in our lives. Amen. And when we come with that attitude and that spirit of humility and we embrace the word of God, the truth of the word of God, two major things will happen in this process of renovation of our minds. Number one, hallelujah, the word of God, God, the Lord, through his word will begin to wash us. There will be a washing of regeneration by the water of the word of God. And then number two, there'll be a renewal or a transformation by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our minds. Amen. And as we progress, this is an ongoing daily, weekly, monthly, yearly process and exercise. But as we commit to it and as we keep doing it and as we keep growing in it, you find your life being elevated. You find yourself coming up. You find an alignment in the spirit between your thinking and the thinking of the Holy Spirit, between your mind and the mind of Christ. And you find a consonance, you find a togetherness, so much so that the things that the Word of God can produce anywhere in the world will become the same testimonies, the same results that you and I will begin to get through the Word of God because of the renovation of our minds. Hallelujah. Powerful scriptures in Romans chapter 12. We are not able to do a lot of revision tonight, so we can get some fresh revelatory understanding materials in. Hallelujah. Again, that's why going back to revisit, if you have been with us before, or visit anew, afresh, if you are new to this, whether it's our podcast or our YouTube channels, that's why it's important to go back to those messages so you can lay a solid foundation. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing or the renovation of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can experience, we have already studied that. So you can experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think, see, as you renovate your mind, your thinking becomes affected, becomes influenced. Your thinking begins to change, begins to be transformed to the thinking of our Father, of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to take on the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So our thinking is usually the first fruit of the renovation of our minds. When our minds are being renovated, one of the first evidences of that is going to be in the way we think. And of course, the way we think will affect the way we talk. The way we think will affect the things we do. The way we think will affect the results that we enjoy in our lives. Amen. It says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing or renovation of your mind. That's the process that we are on. And last week, we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and from verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believes have? Does the person who believes have with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Say that with me. I am the temple of the living God. Amen. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Look at it. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. We are called to come out. Not to start acting like we are holier than thou. Not to start acting like we are better than everybody else. In fact, when you have a spirit of humility, you never act or feel like you are better than other people. You don't think that way. There may be people that have not attained to your level of spiritual growth and renovation of the mind. And what you do is, for those who are striving, who are growing, who are looking to grow, you have a lot of compassion for them. And your heart goes out. You want to help them. You want to bless them. And for those who are stuck, who just don't really have any desire or are not really willing to pay the price, your heart just seeks the mercy of God for them, because you know they are missing out on God's best. Like we read in Romans 12, you cannot experience the best of God if you are not renovated in your mind, if you are conformed to the world and to the world's ways of thinking. The Bible says, come out from among them. I really love the message Pastor Muyiwa ministered on this past Sunday. And the Holy Spirit is our supernatural advantage. I really love quite a number of things. But one of the things that, you know, he said, that don't settle with the world and the Lord will settle you. I love that so much. I love that so much. Don't settle with the world and the Lord will settle you. I also love, in talking about coming out from among them, this scripture is not just talking about believers and unbelievers, although that's what is in print, but it's really talking about the principle and the spirit of it. Because a believer who thinks like an unbeliever is really not different in terms of how much influence, godly influence, they can exert. A believer who thinks like an unbeliever is not different from an unbeliever. Amen. Someone who has been saved for many years, but who has refused to be renovated in their thinking, in their mind, and they continue to think like the world, continue to act like the world, continue to do the things that people of the world do, they are not really different. In terms of the influence that they carry, that scripture in Corinthians that talks about evil communication corrupts good manners, well, somebody who is not renewed in their thinking, they may have been saved for many years, they may be believers who go to church, they may even be ministers. But if they are not renovated and they are not renovated in their minds and they are not on this process regularly, well, that's evil communication. And evil communication will corrupt good manners. So the Bible says, come out. It's not just unbelievers, but even, you know, people, you know, sometimes people are close to us, friends, family. If they are not thinking like God, if they are not thinking like the Word of God, we've got to learn to draw the line, to create a separation. We've got to learn to create a separation. Because evil communication corrupts good manners. It's always easier for someone who is lower to pull somebody down who is at the top. Way back then, when we were so much younger, there's an illustration that we used to see ministers and hear ministers give. In fact, a pastor once, I saw them illustrate this. It was so, and it just stood out and became so clear. It became a real revelation to me from seeing that illustration. They asked two people to come out. They put out a table in front of the church, and they asked one of those two people to step on the table. And they asked the second person to stand on the ground next to the person on the table. And then they asked the person who was on the table to pull the one on the ground up. And he tried and he tried. It was so hard. It was very hard. The only way it was possible and the only way it became slightly easier was that that person on the ground was actually making an effort to climb up. They were willing to brace themselves using the table to step, you know, go through some discomfort so that they too could step on that table with that person on the table. So that was really hard for the person at the top to pull somebody up to their level. But then he asked the person who was on the ground, standing on the ground, to pull the person on the table down. And this was the easiest thing. No matter whether you have a stronger person up on the table, whether you have a lighter person, it doesn't matter. It's so much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. There's so much work that is required to raise people up, to pull them up. In fact, they must be willing to cooperate with that process in order for us to succeed. So when the Bible says, come out from among them, it's not just talking about the unbelievers. He's also talking about even people like us, other Christians, other believers, but who are not renewed in their minds, in their thinking, who continue to think like the world, who continue to talk like the world, who continue to act like the world. The Bible is saying you be the influencer. You don't let them pull you down to their level. You don't let them be the one exerting influence over you. You be the one insisting. And when you insist that you are going to pull them up, if they are not interested in being pulled up, you find there's a separation will happen right there. A separation is going to happen. Because you try it. You try it at home. If you try to pull somebody up from a higher level and they don't want to come up, you are going to, that hold is going to be snapped. You are holding their hands trying to get them up and they don't want to come up. There's going to be a separation. Amen. But going back to Pastor Muiwa's message, I really love the example he gave about Abraham and Lot, right? He said after Abraham was separated from Lot, God came and elevated Abraham. It's so true. Mind you, Abraham and Lot were brothers. That was his nephew. Lot was not an unbeliever. He was not an infidel. But he also was not someone who was thinking like God. See, notice, when Abraham said, look, you choose, let's separate you. This was in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, and further down. Abraham said, let's not strive. You look and you pick. And the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes. He never asked the Lord. He lifted up his eyes and looked at all the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he looked at all the well-watered gardens. This is how the world thinks. The world always thinks that what they can see with their natural eyes is exactly what it is. It's never so. It's never so. People of the spirit are not moved by what they see. People of the spirit, people of faith, are not triggered by what they hear. You can see something, you know, people of faith, people of the spirit, they know that there is a reality that is higher than the reality that can be observed naturally. Let me say that again. People of the spirit, people who have their minds aligned with the thinking of God, with the mind of Christ, they know that there is a reality that is superior to any reality that can be perceived by the natural human senses. Anything you can touch, feel, see, hear, taste, smell is always inferior to what you can perceive with your spiritual senses. So Lot lifted up his eyes. This is how a lot of believers make their decisions. Right? They want to make a decision. They lift up their eyes, right? Like, where is it? Where does it look like it's greener? They don't ask the Lord, show me the real, show me what is there, what cannot be seen. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's verse 16, why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered gardens of Sodom. He said, I'm going there. You know how this story finished? He lost everything because he was not thinking like God. And as soon as they were separated, in verse 14 and 15, God came to Abraham and said, now you lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to the north, to the south, to the west. Everything that your eyes can see, I'll give to you and to your seed after you. Well, that is elevation, my friends. that is awesome elevation, my friends. Why? Because Abraham was thinking like God. Abraham thought like God. He was the one who said, let's not be in strife. Because you know, strife is an open door for the enemy. When people get in strife, when believers get in strife, Satan is going to camp out there. You have opened the door to the serpent. When there's strife in a family, Satan is going to camp out in that family. And all sorts of crazy things will happen there. There'll be confusion. There'll be disagreements. Their languages will be confused like it was in the Tower of Babel. There'll be lack of love, no peace, no shalom, no rest. People will be troubled. Instead of having rest on every side, they'll be troubled on every side. Hallelujah. Their minds will be up and down, up and down, up and down. Instead of being calm and peaceful. That's what Satan wants. So Abraham said, let's not be in strife. You choose. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the south, I'll go to the north. But in fact, after they were separated, God came to Abraham and gave him everything. Everything, including what Lot chose. So I really love that illustration when the Lord said, come out from amongst them. It's not just Abraham and Lot were not enemies. They just were not thinking the same way. They were not both thinking like God. Lot was supposed to be a covenant man, but the covenant didn't really hold a lot of sway in his life. And so he missed God. Do you know how many believers in the body of Christ miss God every day? Because the covenant is not esteemed in their lives, right? The will of God is not first place in their thinking. Hallelujah. And so God said, come out from among them. When you come out and you are separated, God will elevate you. the Lord will elevate you. I see you being elevated in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 22. Let's go there and then get into we've outlined six steps that we need to take to begin to actively do the work of renovating our minds. Six. We've only started talking about the first one. And even talking about that first one, you can see there's just so much foundation that the Holy Spirit is helping us lay so that there is proper context. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, this is where the Bible says be renewed. Let's go back, let's go there and read it from verse 12. Let's read it from verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4. It says from verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Notice, deceitful lust. It's not true. They are lusts, but they are deceitful. They promise something that is not real. People who do not think like God, people who do not have their minds renovated by the word of God, always build lives on deceit, on deception. They always have expectations that will not materialize. They have dreams that will not be fulfilled. Why? Because they are building on lies, not on truth. The only way our lives are established is that we are building on the truth of the word of God. Notice, it says that you have put off the old man, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit. That is a structural change. We're not just whitewashing the mind. We're not just adopting lingo. How do they talk in church? I'm going to start talking like that, right? What are some of the things they say and what are some of the things they do? I'm going to start doing those things just talking like that and just doing the things that people in church do without that being rooted from your spirit being is just foolishness. Because it's not going to produce anything. The Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that is going to reap. It doesn't matter if you put up an appearance. God is not deceived. God is not mocked. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that means it's a structural change. It's a structural renovation. It's a lot of work. It gets easier as you go. But to start off, if you haven't been active, if you haven't been one who has addressed the thoughts of your mind, the thoughts of your life, your prevailing thoughts, if you are somebody who has not watched, listen to yourself talk when nobody is listening. Listening to yourself talk when nobody is listening. If you haven't done it on a consistent basis and catch yourself, and begin to make corrections and adjustments. If you have not been in that process, it's going to be very difficult when you start. But the earlier you start, the better. If you are not someone who catches yourself and weighs your every action when the people you seek to impress are not present, if you don't weigh your actions, because your actions, when the people you seek to impress are not there, those are the things that are coming out from within you. They are based on the thoughts of your mind. If you are not someone who has gotten into the process of weighing those actions, weighing your words, weighing your thoughts, so that you are actively making changes with the help of the Holy Spirit, then when you get into that process initially, it's going to be quite some work. But the Holy Spirit is the one who's doing the work. We are just yielding. As you and I have been studying the Word of God through these last several weeks, there's a lot of renovation that is happening in our lives already. I know it. I know there's a lot of renovation happening in my life personally, as we just continue to delve and dig into the Word of God. And yet, long before we came into this series of messages, there was already a lot of renovation that had happened in my mind, in my life, in my thinking. But when we came into this process, even more, hallelujah. And then you can see the elevation. You can see how the Lord is pulling us up, making us more and more like Christ, making us more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's an active work. It's a structural renovation work. It's not whitewashing. It's not just like we're going to paint it over, but we're going to keep what was there before. No, we're going to tear that thing down, and we're going to rebuild with the help of the Holy Spirit the mind of Christ within our new mind. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You put on the new man who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, that new man has truth associated with him. The old man has deceit and lies associated with him. It's one of the biggest things. That's why the very first step that we must take in the process of renewing our minds is the step of brainwashing our minds with the truth of the Word of God. We're going to get there in a minute, but let's read verse 25 here. Look at it. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in the right, in righteousness and true holiness, verse 24. And then verse 25, therefore putting away lying. Notice the very first thing he addresses when he starts talking about the actual work of renovating the mind. The very first thing he mentions, the apostle mentioned, is truth versus lying. Therefore, verse 25, Ephesians chapter 4, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. In order to renovate our mind, we must build our lives on the truth of the Word of God. We must love the truth. We must hate lying. We must hate deception. We must hate dishonesty. We must embrace truth. We must celebrate truth. Hallelujah. We must become one with truth. Look at it. Therefore, putting away lying. You can stop right there. Putting away lying. Putting away lying. We have to go through every area of our lives and arrest every untruth that we have believed. I don't care who sold us that untruth. I don't care where we got it from. I don't care how long we have believed it. I don't care if it was the people who raised us, who said those truths. Who said those lies. I don't care. And they didn't say those things like they were lies. They said those things like they were gospel truth. But you know, as you begin to look into the Word of God and you begin to compare it with those things that you grew up with, that I grew up with, you see, no, that's not true. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Yes, sir. Let God be true. Everything in the Word of God is true. And anything contrary to the truth of the Word of God is a lie. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. I don't care who said it. It may be grandma, grandpa. It may be daddy. It may be mommy. It may be our best teacher in school. It may be our best friends, our BFFs. Hallelujah. It may be an influencer we love. It may be our favorite politician. It may even be our favorite preacher, pastor. if what they said does not line up with the truth of the word of God, they told a lie. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Hallelujah. We must be willing to first of all elevate truth in our lives. We must be willing to eradicate all forms of dishonesty. Let's continue here. Time is going. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. The presence of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go read a few verses from Numbers chapter 13. Let's just do Numbers 13 tonight, and we'll come back to Numbers 2, come back to 14 later on. We don't have a lot of time. I see I'm running out of time right here. Numbers chapter 13. You remember, this is where we left off last week. This is what made the difference between Caleb and Joshua and all the other 10 spies that Moses sent to go and spy the promised land, and the 3.5 million or 3 million people that were there in that wilderness who believed a lie and who spoke a lie contrary to what God said. But Joshua and Caleb fully embraced the truth of the word of God. Let God be true, let every man be a liar. And this is why when rubber hits the road, whatever we have imbibed and whatever we have embraced is what will direct the course of our lives. If you have imbibed a lie, if you have given yourself to a lie and you have built your life on a lie, deception and dishonesty, when the rubber hits the road, when the rubber meets the road, and when times get difficult, when life becomes tough and challenging, the lie that people have bought into will determine the course of their lives. And where is that going? That's not going anywhere good. On the other hand, if you have built your life on the truth of the word of God, you have imbibed truth, you have celebrated truth, you walk with truth, you walk with truth, you are a lover of truth, you are established on truth, then that truth will determine the course of your life. And truth always ends up in glory. Truth always ends up in the places that God has prepared. Truth always ends up in godly purpose. Truth always ends up in godly destiny. Truth always ends up in divine manifestations. You can, if you build your life on truth, God will show up when God says he will show up. Something must happen to fulfill the promise that God made. You see where he says there in Isaiah chapter 55, as the rain that comes down from heaven, the snow and waters the earth, makes it bud, bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower, fruit, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that whereto I send it, and it will prosper in the thing where I send. When your life is built on truth, you can count on it. You will prosper. The word of God will prosper in your life. It may take a year. It may take 2. It may take 10. It may take 15. It may take 20. Some people may seem to have gone ahead of you. Some people may seem to be way, 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 way ahead. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I don't care how long it takes. If you have built your life on truth, the word will prosper where to, according to how God sent it. The word of God will prosper in your life. You will bust out in the good land. You will bust out in the promised land. But if we're not building on truth, If we don't have a foundation of truth, if we're just winging it as we go, just patching it up, just, you know, we do a little bit of the word today, truth today, we do a little bit of the world tomorrow, which is lies and dishonesty. We do a little bit of the word today, a little bit of lies, and a little bit of the world tomorrow. My friends, because that's exactly how Satan traffics. Satan doesn't just bring all lies. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. But what he does is he mixes a little truth with his lies to create deception. Because if he doesn't mix a little truth with that lie, we will not buy into it. We won't buy into it. It will be so obvious. This is a lie. So what he does is he injects a little truth in that lie, but it is mainly a lie. Like he said to Eve, like, God knows the day in which you eat that fruit, your eyes will be open. And you will know, you will become gods. You will know the difference between good and evil. And well, you know what? He mixed a little truth in there. Truly, their eyes were open. It was after they ate the fruit that they saw that they were naked. But their eyes were open in a bad way. They lost the glory of God. So if as a child of God, you are mixing truth, and you're mixing truth from the word, you're mixing it with the world, lies from the world, and you're mixing them together as you go, and you are feeling good about it, you are going to end up somewhere not so good. Because that foundation is not going to stand. And one day you will have expectation that the promise keeper will show up, but he will not be there. He will not be there. The dreams will not be fulfilled. Expectations will not be met. But for you and for me, if we are building on the truth of the word of God, hallelujah, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Look at it. Numbers 13 from verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every one of them a ruler among them. So God said, I'm giving to them. That's what God said. I'm giving it to them. No matter what is there, I'm giving it to them. No matter what the land looks like, but I want them to go see it, to confirm it. But I'm giving it to them. Well, when they went, what happened? They came back. And in verse 23, they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a stall, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 years. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. And they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, just like God said. Just like God said. Look at verse 28. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now notice there's an element of truth. Yeah, there were walls in the land. The people there were strong. There were giants in the land. They saw the children of Anak. That's true. There's an element of truth in what they said. But look at how they try to mix the element of truth with a lie. And when you mix a little bit of truth, I don't care how small the lie is, everything becomes a lie. It's like the Bible, like Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Some people call some things white lies. I don't know where they saw that. I don't know where scripture they read it, where something was described. It was a lie, but God said it is a white lie. You know, so white, you know, white is better than a black lie. Anything white is better than black, right? I don't know where they came up with that. It's not in the Bible. It's not there in the Bible. Like God says, some lies are white lies. Some of those white lies, that's fine. That's okay. A little bit of lying is not bad for you. It's good for your health. It's not in the Bible. Like, it's white lies. But those black lies, run away from black lies. It's not in the Bible. There's no distinction between white and black lies. Lie is lie. So you can mix an element of truth, but I don't care if it is 0.00001% lie. When you put that lie into that truth, everything becomes a lie. Look at what they said. Yeah, so, and then the Amalekites dwell in the land, verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. See, they went on and on and on. And Caleb knew where this was going. Caleb knew where this was going. He knew where they were driving this cattle. So suddenly Caleb spoke up. I said last week, you cannot, in chapter 14, we read that last week, he and Joshua became dramatic about it. They just couldn't stand it no more. They just couldn't keep quiet. And that's how it does you. When you see and you are in the midst of corrupted thinking and think people are saying things that are corrupted and going on and carrying on about it, something just revolts within you. I'm sure it happens to you because it's a spiritual concept. It happens to every child of God if you have the Holy Spirit within you. And people are carrying on. They're carrying on with this ungodly, worldly thoughts and words and things. And they're just, your spirit revolts and rebels against it. And many times you can't keep quiet. Like I said last week, some people are going to keep quiet through it. But you can't keep quiet. That's where the separation happens. My time is almost up. Let's go here. I gotta get to the New Testament tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. Caleb couldn't hold it anymore. And Caleb stilled in verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let us possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Hi, how did it come up? How did he have that kind of thinking? How did Caleb have that kind of thinking? He didn't say, no, there are no walls, there are no giants, there are no children of Anakim. But he completely dismissed them. I said, let's go up at once. Let's go up at once, for we are well able. Hallelujah. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. There's something different between Caleb and all these other people. There's something different about their thinking. You can see there's something different about their words. It all begins from the mind. Why is it that Caleb bought into that thought that they could possess the land? They could overcome those giants. He didn't say there are no giants there. He said, but don't talk about them. We can overcome them. Let's go. Let's go now. But why is it that these other people were so focused on the giants? Why is that? Why is it that their thinking was so different? Because Caleb bought into the truth. He embraced the truth of the word. Caleb embraced God as a God of truth. He embraced it completely. God said he's giving us the land, which we read in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 13. If God says he's giving us the land, well, that's it. He's giving us the land. Let's go up and take the land. He's giving it to us. What is all this debate about? What is all this? Why are we building all these structures and all these canopies and trying to figure out how to wrapping lie after lie, trying to create drama and talk about how do we have? No, why are we doing? God said He's giving us the lie. Let's just go take it. It's very simple. He embraced the truth. And these other people embraced the lie. His mind was completely taken over by the truth of the word. He totally believed the truth of the word of God. These other people never did. They were wishy-washy whitewash believers. They claim with one mouth that they believe, but then when the rubber meets the road or whatever, when situations get tough, then you hear what's coming out of their mouth, or things are different from, and then they are shifted from their comfort zone. You hear what's coming out of their mouth and you're like, what is this? And then they're happy to believe what they believe. They are happy to say the things they say. They are happy to think the way they think. They are happy to act the way they act. But it just repels you, because it's not truth from the word. It's not based on truth from the word. See, these people bought so much into the lie. Even when Caleb lifted up his voice, they shut him down. Listen to this. Verse 31. And the men that went up with him said, we be not able. See, Caleb said, we are able. They said, we be not. The English is even horrible. We be not able. What's that? To go against these people, for they are stronger than we. Come on. How do you know that? I mean, this is just, how do you know that? That's a lie. See where they started from? A truth, a little truth. The cities are walled. There they saw the sons of Anak. Oh, that is true. Then they get into the lies. And Caleb knew before they got into the lies that they were headed to lie. They were headed to Lie City. And he stilled them. He said, no, stop. But they wouldn't, because they are headed there. They are committed to their lie and their deception. He said, no, we are not. They are stronger than us. They are stronger than we. He couldn't even say it right. And they brought up, the Bible says, they brought up, verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Come on, that's a lie. First, how can you be like a grasshopper in your own eyes? And then how can you be like a grasshopper in their eyes? How do you know you are not in their eyes? That's a lie. The first step to renovating the mind is to embrace the truth of the word of God. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, this same Numbers right here. Let's read this and close. God, I can go to the New Testament tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Numbers 23:19. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He has blessed. I cannot reverse it. God is not a man that he should lie. Remember, several years ago, somebody wrote a song. We'll pick it up from here next week. Let's talk about the truth. God, the God of truth. When we come back next week, it's the God of truth. Somebody wrote a song several years ago. Said, there's only one thing that is impossible for God. God has only one impossibility. Only one. And it was a very nice song. He built it up to get to that point. What is this impossibility that God has? God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Of course, it is impossible for God to fail. It is impossible for God to go back on his word. There's so many things, but one of the most important things, it's impossible for God to lie. Let's receive the blessing and a heart that desires truth tonight. Father, we thank you. We bless you and we magnify your holy name. We give you glory and praise for this time of studying the word. Thank you for ministering life to us. We receive it. We thank you. Thank you for the presence of the mighty Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us illumination, revelation, understanding, clarity. Thank you. We bless your holy name, Lord. We bless your holy name. Receive the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a glorious time. What a glorious session in the word of God. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of a man that he should repent. Glory to God. It's impossible for God to lie. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Our time is up. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.